with finishing what you have started, we know that something greater is even coming on our way. Lord, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for speaking to us in our Bible study classes. Thank you for our teachers, our instructors. Thank you for bringing such fresh bread, living bread unto us this morning to feed on. And Lord, we still trust you that since we said we're going to wait, we pray that as we wait on you this morning, you will yet minister to us. Cause your word to come to us. Cause our hearts to receive the engrafted word of God, even with meekness, that our situations may be turned around. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the Lord again this morning for giving us the gift of life, an opportunity to fellowship together on a Sunday morning like this. My prayer is the Lord again, who has gathered us and unto whom we have come, will take note of our presence and touch us at the very point of our needs in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have been looking at the issue of breaking the chains of Babylon, and the Lord has been speaking to us at various points, decoding, expounding his word to us about the issue of Babylon. And this morning again, the Lord has spoken to us in our various classes through our instructors. And even the summary time has also brought added blessings to our hearts, showing to us Babylon such that we might find understanding that apart from the fact that it has a geographical location, even in this present world, and yet it's a system, it's an order, it's a lifestyle that has infiltrated into several lives, several nations, including the church, which each of us must be wary of and root out wherever it might be found in our lives. God has been speaking to us without mincing word on how several of us have either knowingly or unknowingly walked into the traps of Babylon. And several of us are already crippled, completely rendered impotent, castrated as it were, unable to do what ordinarily would have been graced to do. But it is because there is a remedy. That's why the Lord called for this meeting, so that he might show to us step by step what we must do and what must happen to us, what must become our responsibilities, our commitment also, for us to be loosed from the chains and fetters of Babylon. And again this morning, in the past 1 or 2 days, we have practically settled with Daniel. We have been looking at Daniel, an epitome of faith, a man though living in Babylon and among the Babylonians, he was in the minority, and yet he was able to stand out. He was able to lead a life that could not be captured or captivated by all the brightness and the glories of Babylon. He raised his head above the waters, and he was such a man that possessed a life that has challenged my heart very greatly. And I believe that for those of us who have been part of this train, I'm sure Daniel must have challenged us, must have spurred us to go to the place of prayer and pray for definite help for our lives, that though we are in the world, that we might not become victims of the system and the order of this present world. My prayer again this morning is that the Lord will bring forth his word to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, it came to my heart that we should look at Daniel chapter 3. I have not been able to pin it to a particular topic that will capture it for us, but maybe as we study, we might find understanding of how to coin a topic for it. But we'll be looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their encounter with the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. And I'd like to read from verse 1. Of course, it's going to take us through the entire chapter, but I don't know how. And it contains about 30 verses. That's huge. But we'll trust the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom as to how to go about it. But let me start to read. It means at some point I might be stopping just to chip in one or two things that will help us as we travel together. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. I'm reading from verse 1. Whose height was 70 cubits. That's about 90 feet. And the breadth therefore 6 cubits. That's about 9 feet. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. I may need to quickly drop one or two things before I read other verses of the Bible so that we can connect. The province of Babylon shouldn't be strange to us anymore. For those of us who were here yesterday, we noticed that why the king promoted Daniel, because he told him his dream and brought forth the interpretation. He offered Daniel to be the leader over all the provinces of Babylon. But Daniel said, thank you, but give it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they became the rulers over the province of Babylon. Now in chapter 2, if you have read the book of Daniel before, which I think you will have done, you will notice that in the dream of Babylon you saw a great image, so wonderful, so terrible, and it has a head of gold. Other parts are of different sorts, which I'm not interested in now. And when Daniel was interpreting the dream, Daniel said, O king, you are the head of gold. God has made your kingdom to be, and it will be the best. You'll be the leader, you'll be the king of kings, and you know, all kinds of words were used by Daniel as the Lord gave him offerings before King Nebuchadnezzar that day. But the foolishness and the pride in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar made him to go and cast an image, possibly looking like the one he saw in the dream. But I was amazed that he did not cast this image the way he saw it in the dream. Instead of making it the head of gold and chest of silver, he made everything gold from head to toe. And I wonder in my heart, God didn't say everything will be gold. God said the head is gold. So why making other parts gold? That's the greed. I know we're talking about discipline yesterday, where you see a Christian that is giving 1 yard and he takes a bundle, he can't travel far. God will surely peg his life. He can't. When you see a man who is an opportunist, such a man may never be able to win divine approval. Because if Jesus were to be an opportunist, then he would have overrun Jehovah and he would have taken everything to himself, because he was equal with God. and yet he did not see his equality as something to be used for his own advantage, his equality with God. So we know that anywhere and in any man that God will show interest, one of the things God will look for in him is this trait of discipline. Not wanting to grab and to grab and to grab, even when it is given unto him free of charge. We saw that in Daniel. But Nebuchadnezzar was the opposite. He made the whole image gold. Of course, I don't want to push it. And he set it. And then we are going to see what he was going to do. So unfortunately, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar decided to locate his image where they were ruling. That was a problem. So for adventure, there are certain things that have been set so close to us. A shrine in front of your house. A meeting that is against God located in your flat. An operation that God is against being practiced in your office where you are working. A condition, a policy to be formulated and you're on the board. And you must be part of that policy. And yet you know that this policy will impact negatively on the populace. And yet you are there as a Christian. You serve in the school's board. And then they have devised to milk the student innocently. They have decided to collect some money from students, which they ought not to collect. You are part of the decision-making body. In fact, they located the meeting in your own office. And you are a child of God. They said, well, Association of Okada Riders, we have to do Okada Day. And we have to call the priests to come and make some sacrifices to reduce the accident, and you are the secretary of the association, and you are a Christian. I say yes. Any man that wants to marry a woman in our family must bring 50 liters of kankan, 20 rows of fencing and hedges as part of the bride price. And you are a Christian. And you are to marry their daughter. It is impossible for us to go and live in heaven now. As a matter of fact, the earth he made for the children of men. Heaven of heavens are his own palace. And I want you to understand, one of the questions that troubled my small mind as a young boy was, why is God keeping the devil alive? When he knew he was going to be in trouble to us, he should have killed him and removed him so that we can just enjoy our lives. When the serpents were biting the people of Israel and they were dying, and they came to Moses, he said, Moses, we know we sinned. Please beg God to remove the serpents. And I thought the ideal thing to do in order to show to them that they have been forgiven is to take the serpents away. But God said, no, I won't take the serpents away. You have to fellowship with the serpent. But I will give you a way out. That again touched me about the attitude of God. Why will he give you employment or give you a burden to go and become a police officer when the pattern of life is to take bribe and to just weave cases around people that are not true in order to milk them? Why will he locate you in the customs or in the immigration where unrighteousness is a pattern of life? And if you don't follow, you will roast. How do we survive under such an atmosphere? How do we survive? How do we live out our Christian life? How do we become a burning and a shining light under such thick darkness, gross darkness? The challenge we have is what I am saying in this scripture. Most medical doctors who are rich are those that commit abortion. And if you are going to make it as a medical doctor, immorality is rife in our land. Unwanted pregnancies here and there because of careless and loose sexual life of our people. So you have ready market. If you know how to do D&C well, from month one to month 8.5, even if it is 8.5 old pregnancy, just bring it out neatly. You will make a huge amount of money. And they say you can't prosper if you don't toe that line. How do you do it and survive as a Christian doctor? As a Christian student, when we're in school, of course, what concerns anybody? If you know pass, you know pass. You go repeat. So, I went to school when you have to read. But you know, it's no longer like that now. We only have few students. We only have few students that read now. Everything revolves around money. In fact, you may not even go to school, or you may have first class honor. I hope you are not forgotten Toronto certificate saga of one of the speakers of the House of Representatives, a leader in Nigeria with a fake Toronto certificate. In a situation where cheating is the order of the day, and you are writing an exam, and the invigilator himself comes and says, yes, these are the answer number one, please write. And you are a Christian student. What do you do? It has been brought to your territory. I don't know whether it's happening in the East here, but where I came from, those who have schools, what makes their school to be accepted by parents are the results of their students. So if your school is having very good results, parents will bring their children to your school. And it's always an arrangement. The proprietor and the invigilators will arrange to help all the children to cheat so that they can pass well, so that parents could bring children to their school. I don't know, would they do that here also?
Yes.
Ah, are in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Permit me. Ganifa Emi was sick and he had, I think, lung cancer. And for years, they couldn't diagnose his illness correctly. They were managing something else until the thing got out of hand, before it was detected abroad. Because several of the doctors we produce passed through such schools where they pay to pass. So we produce ill-baked doctors. They will just construct a road today. In 5 days, the roads are having potholes because the engineers that we have are not correct engineers. And unfortunately, you yourself as a parent, you like such schools too. When it is the order of the day and it has been brought to your territory, unrighteousness located at your doormat, what do you do? When all the girls in the hostel are glorified prostitutes, they have money to buy new clothes, designer clothes, nice shoes, nice bags, and many of them, they go trots, they travel abroad because they have some money bags in Abuja, some business magnates giving them money. And you're a Christian lady living among these mentally deranged girls. What do you do? And you have not paid your school fees. And they never have problem praying theirs. In fact, they are telling you, if you join us, we'll pay yours. What do you do? So as I read this story, I want you to follow. I don't know whether we'll be able to travel through it today, but wherever God wants us to pause, I will, and then we'll be praying. Verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. You know, great men were not invited here now. Great men were not invited. The big people, men of timber and caliber, those who call the shots in Babylon. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by default, were there. There are meetings we may not be able to avoid. There are places we may not be able to avoid. There are situations we may not be able to avoid. There are conditions that we might find ourselves and we will never be able to help it. We'll just be there. Do we have politicians in this meeting this morning? Is there anybody in politics here? Don't be afraid. So we don't have politicians here. Okay, do we have politicians? Those in politics. We don't have them also. All right. They are always my friend. I've been praying to God that he will just give me grace one day to gather politicians and to speak to them. If not all, maybe the Christians among them. That we can sit together and check the word of God and see how we can move Nigeria forward. Nigeria will be free. I can hear your amen.
Amen.
I hope that you know that today the president is going to be sworn in. For me, it's a very strategic day for us. For me, it's very strategic. We want to draw a roadmap. We want to chart a course, a new course for our beloved country. It must start with each one of us. We must decide what we are going to do. When they arrested Jesus and they brought him before the high priest, in fact, as they came to arrest him at Gethsemane, he did something that amused me. So who are you looking for? They said, we are looking for Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Say, I am he. Said, if you are looking for me, then allow these ones to go. He secured the release of his disciples and they let them go. So when he appeared before the high priest, one of the very first questions the high priest asked him was, where are your disciples? Because the high priest knew that if they kill him and they have not killed the disciples, they are simply wasting their time. Very soon, what he stood for will spread all over the nation. And that was what happened. You know, I'm so confident that if each one of us, even if not all, if a handful of us will catch what the Lord is bringing to us in this meeting, then I'm too sure that in a matter of time, we're going to have a brand new Nigeria.
Amen.
I can hear your amen.
Yes.
What I'm doing here, the cause of this meeting, I have not done it anywhere. I've never accepted an invitation that will span over 1 week. Nobody can do it. I won't. I've never done it in the 23 years of my preaching. I have never. But I just believe that God has something to do. And let me just follow him. Sometime, an unusual event like this could spark a fire that no man will be able to quench. And I've not said it to rate this meeting above other meetings, but it happened unusually. So, for us, this morning is very strategic. At the Eagle Square, I'm sure people are trooping in there. The security people are combing the place to look for bombs if there will be anyone. Of course, we have not received good signals all through, but then we know God is there. I'm not praying for anything untoward to happen, but if it does, I won't be surprised because God has warned us ahead. But I think we have prayed also. But listen, what is so critical for us is, I wish Nigeria is not the way it is. But sorry, it is like that now. And I can't run away from it. Many times when I travel and stopped by honorable police officers, and sometimes, you know, they could be very, very unfriendly, but I will always be friendly with them. give them a smile, greet them warmly, pray for them and all of that. And occasionally they will ask me, so, are you a pastor? And I said, what does that mean? You should have told us that you are a pastor. I said, I'm not proud to be a pastor, because it does not make any meaning anymore in Nigeria. Don't we have pastors scanning cocaine? Don't we have pastors keeping ammunition for armed robbers? Is it dignifying to be a pastor anymore? So why would I be bragging about that? Say, I'm a pastor, as you may see me, so I'm a pastor. No. No. I wish it is not like that. But it has come to that. Situations so disturbing, yet you can't run away from it. I said, well, Oga, you can't pass here. Everybody pays before he passes. And you know they are asking outrightly for bribe. And that is what everybody does. As a Christian citizen, what do we do? How many of us have driver's license? Can I see your hands up? Let me see your hands up now. Me too, I have driver's license. How many of us did driving tests? You see, one. So how did you collect your driver's license? You know, I had a struggle with a girl. A woman now, she's married, who was living with me. When she was getting ready for her wedding, her sister sent money to her from Canada. And bank will not collect any form of identification except driver's license. And she doesn't know how to drive. You say, sir. They said, that is what I must play. I said, but you don't know how to drive. For weeks, her money was hanging in the bank. She went behind me to go and do it. When she saw that I would not allow her to get her money. Why will you have driver's license when you don't even know how to change gear? Can you see Babylon? Everything about Babylon is against God. The system, the thinking, the orientation, the mentality, everything is against God. And you know, each time I think about Babylon, I'm also thinking about America. Geographically, America is not Babylon, but you know, America has some semblance that is so close to the woman I read about in Revelation 17. And you know, today, all of us, we want to be like Americans. Even the choir in the church, they are singing like Americans. Sometimes I will listen to choir singing and say, what did they talk? I know you are. I'm an African and I speak like African. And that's my mother tongue. Why would I have to go and twist my tongue? Excuse me, for what? As you are not the chop apple. Friends, we have an issue to consider this morning. It is about taking a stand for Jesus. It is about what must become our attitude as we go to the market tomorrow. To continue our business. It will never be business as usual anymore. It shouldn't be. If you are a student, do I have students from the university here this morning? Do I have any? Oh, so I have more graduates here. we have in the secondary school? Students in secondary school? Oh, just one or two. You are our future. And I want to challenge you, as young as you are, that you will take a stand for Jesus. The first time I met the Lord, I was in Form 3, 1977. That helped my life so much. So you are never too young to stand for Jesus. And I ask you to stand for righteousness among the wayward students and see what God will do with your life tomorrow. Take a stand for Jesus. Now, I want you to see this king who does not joke when it comes to his business. Like Christians that will joke with their salvation, they will joke with their consecration, they will joke with their holiness, they will joke with their values. I have found Christians not to be firm, and I don't know why. This man is not joking. Hear the Bible. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I want you to see a strategic man that Nebuchadnezzar was. You know, ordinarily, what he should have done was to invite the citizens and not make everybody to do it. But he was a strategic man. He was not going to bring the citizens. Let me catch the leaders. Once the leaders do it, others will follow suit. That was the counsel of Ahithophel unto Absalom. Sleep with the wives of your father publicly. When you sleep with them in that manner, everybody in Israel will rebel against your father. It was strategic. So many times when they call meetings and they say, well, we need to validate this decision. So how do we validate this decision? Call Sister Clara to be there. Once she's there, and when you are announcing, let her be standing beside you. Because the respect Sister Clara to be a godly woman in this school. Once they see that she's part of it, everybody will accept it. There was a particular school that was being organized by a church. I don't criticize people. But we noticed that certain things seem not to be right with the school. My wife said, let me go there. I want to go and see what they are doing. We may not know it except we check it, you know, very into details. And I thought about it. I said, no, don't go. It is not that I'm afraid that you might be confused or indoctrinated, but my fear is if you are there, they will take photograph and they will be particular about your photograph. They will have a video recording of your presence in the class, and each time you're advertising this school, I am too sure you'll be there. on the TV and they will say, if the wife of Brother Arioku come, everybody know him around here that he stands for something. If his wife could be part of us, then we are doing something serious here. I said, no. Somebody invited me to a meeting. As I picked the phone, he said, thank God. God told me that I should invite you to this meeting. But before he called me, God has already spoken to me. I laughed. And he talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. I said, sir, well, I'm not doubting that God told you, but the God who called me has not released me to be part of that meeting. I knew he was looking for somebody to validate what he was doing. And I knew that if he start to announce my name on radio and on TV because he had access to it, people would have believed what he's doing. I said, no. The meeting will look so big, but sorry, I am not coming. He did everything he could do. I said, sorry. I think a Christian's yes is yes, and a Christian no is no. We don't have to swear, and I don't have to shout. I'll be smiling, telling you, sorry, I can't come. This man invited the nobles, the great ones, and I wish I could tell you that by default you are the light of this world. You are a leader by becoming a follower of Jesus. You are not a small person, even though we expect you to live in humility. You are not a cheap commodity in the market of life. You are a very important person. And so, there are things you cannot do without making it a law unto other people. Once you do it, others will check it. They will just follow. We are driving into a place one day, and we have waited somewhere for the people to come and pick us. And so they spoke, they said, okay, just drive straight, you meet us at this point. And the man who was driving was losing his seat belt. And so he started, I said, no, please put that seat belt back. Because if you meet those people in that condition, they will think that's how you have been driving all along and will have encouraged them in lawlessness. Whatever we do is very important. He called the leaders, and you know the word we use to be dedication. You know that's the word we use in the church, am I correct? All right. So dedication is not only done in the church, it's also done in the house of idols. So sometime as we are going for dedication, I hope you will check very well and say, we are doing something. We are doing Founders Day. I hope you will check before you are part of it. It is not every meeting that is coined with God's name is godly. There's need to check. There's need to check. Can I go on? All right. I hope you're not tired yet. Your nose is very sharp. I hope you are not setting me up. Then an herald. I'm on verse 4 now. I hope you notice that all of them stood before the image, including Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it is not is not an hidden scheme. This is public. And I imagine in my heart CNN was standing, Euronews, Al Jazeera, and all notable, you know, cable news were there to give it live coverage. And we're not talking about a mean king. We're talking about a king that was dreaded everywhere. Where Nebuchadnezzar had not been to, where they have had his name, they trembled at the mention of the name Nebuchadnezzar. He was synonymous to conquest. He had conquered every nation of the earth, including Israel, the strongest of all the nations of the earth. He conquered them, permit me, and conquered their God, as it were. Because he broke into the temple and he carted away vessels of the temple. Nobody does that. Uzzah that touched the ark died instantly. But Nebuchadnezzar dared the God of Israel, broke into the Holy of Holies, got out of there and came out alive. Nothing happened to him. He was held in awe. Everybody was afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. His words are laws. No man flouts his orders. When he speaks, you don't check it. You obey it dogmatically. Nobody tampers with his decree. If you hold his sword, he severs your fingers. Wicked and merciless. He had no respect for life. I hope you know that even he thought he was bigger than God. Do you remember that God had to send him for masters for 7 years in the forest, in the University of Forest, to go and do a master degree program? After 7 years, he came back to his senses to know that Jehovah is the ruler in the kingdom of man. So they were there before the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Now I wish I could narrow this image down to money, but you know, I just like to assume this morning that you will know that every evil, every wickedness, every ungodliness, anything that is anti-God and against the principles of God, against the value that we know with God, I'm sure you will agree with me that the root of all this is nothing but what? Money. I wish you will understand that as we travel this day, and you will attempt in your own heart to tie them, you know, with money as we check the word of God together. So can I come to verse 4 now? Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, all people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." This man does not joke. Nebuchadnezzar the king, Babylon the great. I wish God will just be gracious to us as we consider this scripture together this morning and take note. I just want to ask that you will watch what Nebuchadnezzar set to bring, permit me, inspiration to the people to worship the idol he had set. You know, I do not Babylon. I wish I could speak freely about this at this point, but I'm also afraid that it might take me off course. But I will still drop it as hints for us to have a grip on this strategy that Nebuchadnezzar employed to stir, to move, permit me, to inspire, to excite these people to fall down and worship the golden image which he cast. He said, when you hear the sound of what? Of cornet, of flute, of sackbut, of psaltery, of dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Now, the question that was coming to my heart is, why music? All kinds of music. You remember the choir brought us a song 2 days ago, By the Rivers of Babylon. Do you remember that song? All right. Very beautiful song. Those who have carried us away captivity, they required of us a song. They said to us, sing for us a song of Zion. But you see, these men, they have hung their harps on the willows, and they said, look, we don't have song of Zion. What we have in Zion is the Lord's song, and we cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Mba. Now, I wish you will, I don't know whether you have noticed, I want to drop it as a hint, and I know that I have wise people here who can decode. If you check several of our growing ministries, where we have surging crowd, one thing is very premium. At such places, at such meetings, it is music. Am I correct? And not just music, all kinds of music. You know, I had privilege, excuse me, to also serve in the choir. A privilege. I even joined the choir when I didn't know the Lord in 1973, and I still served and served and served and served in the choir until maybe around 1990 something, before preaching would not allow me to serve in the choir anymore. We are trained, we are brought up with classical music. They taught us that that is the music of the church. But today, all kinds. We have reggae in the church. We call it gospel reggae. We have Afrobeat, Felani Kulapo Kuti music in the church. We call it Afro gospel. We have Fuji in the church. They call it Fuji gospel. All this beautiful nonsense started from Babylon. He uses it to inspire people not to worship God, but to worship gold. And you know, gold and God, even in writing, they are very close. What differentiates God from gold is letter L. And that letter L stands for lust. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. What the human nature desires. I know it is not. Maybe I should leave that. You see, the matter with us, I just plead with God that those of us who are into music will be careful and will search the scriptures and will pray. I need to announce to you that Satan was a musician. Read the Bible very well. You know he understands music so much. So this man, the prelude to worshiping this golden image is to play all kinds of music. And then we can introduce all manner of dance steps. I might get disturbed when I am in a worship service and the same dance step that I used while I was in the world. You know, even when I got born again, in my room, I still had a poster of Michael Jackson and Diana Ross. Those were my idols when I was a small boy. I just loved their music. Such that even when I got born again, and on my knees, and I'm praying, and I suddenly hear somebody playing like a jazzy somewhere, I will first pause and listen small before I continue praying. Foolish boy. It shouldn't. God help me out of it anyway. When it came to me one day as I was praying, I said, what are these demons doing in your room? He said, demons, there are no demons here. Actually, angels fill this place. There are no demons in this room. I said, look at those two demons on the wall of your room. That was the day I knew that they were idols in my heart. It was with reluctance that I got off my knees to go to the world. In fact, I neatly pulled those posters off the wall so that they will not tear. Idols, demons. Now ask brethren, when you sing Fela music, Fela got his inspiration from Indian hymn. When you sing his music, what are you saying to us? How can you bring his thing and lace it with biblical lyrics and you call it music? No, it's not for church, it's for Babylon. is for Babylon. So, let's hear the Bible. Time is running fast. And yet, I feel we should close in time. Alright, let me move on. Wherefore, I stopped at verse 5, man. Verse 6. Alright, so I will read verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, don't forget, not the following day, while the worship was going on, they noticed some people were still standing. At that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. You didn't bring an advice. It's not a counsel. You made a decree, a royal decree for that matter, that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image, and also falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let me see whether I can pause here, and then we'll continue when we meet again in the evening, if Jesus has not returned. But if he does, I will ask that you excuse me. I would like to go with him. I want to say to you that something came out. Everybody was standing before the image. And then the king said, give me the music. And it was a heavy music. Cornet, flute, sackbut, dulcimer, psaltery, all kinds of music. They were being played. I know sometimes when music enter your body well, you could start crying. It may not be for repentance, but emotions. And when the music enter their body well, these are big people. Don't forget that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were degree holders. They were graduates from the University of Babylon. And everybody there were graduate, master degree holders, PhD degree holders. They were there. And you know, it was an issue. They fell down and they worshipped. Everybody was flat on his belly. But there were three strands still maintaining their position. Though before the idols, but never to bow to the idols, even though the king was seated upon his throne. So some of the Chaldeans came near the king and said, Your Majesty, I hope you are seeing well. You didn't see well, so? He said, they see well. Said, look at these Jews. We have been taking note of them. We thought you made a decree. This has nothing to do with choice. We have noticed them since you promoted them that they have no regard for you. He said, are you sure? He said, yes. They never worshipped your God. Each time you ask them, why are you not worshipping the God of the man that promoted you? They said, we are not under compulsion. This is Babylon. It's a secular state. You can worship any God that you desire to worship, and we have chosen to worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we couldn't argue with them because that is true. You never compel anybody to worship thy God, but here you made a decree. All of us have it, that every man should fall down at the sound of this music and worship the golden image. You know, I feel we should pray. But the first thing that touched me was what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in secret behind Nebuchadnezzar. They brought it before him. And they were not afraid to display their faith before the most dreaded king of the whole earth. So, why is it difficult to present the Christian you are each time you come for a meeting here and present it in the village? In the first place, as a daughter, why will they remember to add 50 liters of kind to your bride price if you have not hidden your faith from your people? If you have shown it publicly, the kind of person you are, they wouldn't have dared to add it to your bride price because they know you will say no. I said, hey, leave this one. This one has special case. I bet make you get married quick, make you leave our family. We don't want our trouble. This one, let her go. Don't put kankan there, don't put Benson and Hedges there. You know, we came for a bride price like that in Asaba here 1 year. And the brother was going to marry this sister, he's a pastor. Of course, my son in the faith. So I came with him and 2 kegs of 50 liters of kankan, 2 rolls of Benson and Hedges, and all of that. We brought Coca-Cola from Ibadan. When we got to that point, he said, we are our kankan. I said, sorry, we are Christians. We don't offer salt. They said, look, we are deltans here, and that is what we take here. We live beside water. We take kankan here. I said, there is no kankan here. You are going to drink Coke because this kankan destroys you. You may not know. We are here to tell you that it will kill you and will send you to hell. As a pastor, no preacher. They didn't have a choice because we had soaked the whole issue in prayer before we came. They accept it. It's because you are pastor, so it's like whatever it is. That's what we have brought. And that's what we are going to take. Yes, because the sister lived in Ibadan. So there was no way they could know. It was her father who insisted that we must come to the village. We'll have done it because the father is also in Ibadan. We'll have done it in Ibadan. We'll have escaped that wahala. But he insisted we must come to this, my first daughter. All of us must come to the village to do this. All right, no problem. We'll come. So why is it that your Christianity is not open to your proprietor in school for him to know the kind of Christian that you are? If you are a Christian in secret and you are not in public, then I put it to you that you are not at all. Several of us were in trouble, debt upon debt. Because you belong to several associations, and each time they are doing something, they must buy clothes, and they will ask you to buy it too. And you will be forced to buy, because you are only a Christian in secret. You are not in public. I know it. I'm not saying it's not right to buy clothes with people, no problem. Those of you are yourself that should not buy clothes. I've not said so. But I think you have a problem when they don't know who you are. One of the matters that I expect was during our 85th anniversary. I'm a very good woman. Very good woman. With good children, blessed children. And so they bought clothes for me. They bought it. He said, I know you will not. So I just want you to have this, but I know you will not wear it. I said, yes, you know I will wear it, but not on your birthday. I will wear what I have on your birthday. I go preach. After birthday, I go to wear them because it's a gift. Why will people not know what we stand for? Why will you be a politician and not stand out as a star? And let them know what kind of Jesus you have. Why would they know in the market, so when they are contributing money to make rituals, they should have said, that one is a rebel, don't go to him, we won't give him. We don't know what to do to him in this market. We foreclose his shop. But again, we know that he's a blessing to us, because each time we have problem, we go to him and he pray for us, God answers his prayer. So we can't kick him out. But we don't like his attitude to us, because you know they follow us, do all of these things. They should know, and that's where I want to pause. When we come back, I'll be talking about walking out of the fiery burning furnace of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. This man, what attracted the fourth man to them was not the fact that they were in fire first and foremost, was because they did not deny him publicly. Anyone who denies him publicly, say, I will also deny him in the presence of my father and in the presence of his holy angels. So, if we are Christians, then let's go public with it. If we are born of God, let's go public with it. If you have a testimony about the power of the God that we have, let's go public with it. Let them know in our offices. Let them know as we drive our cars. When people are breaking traffic law, insist on obeying traffic law, even when there is nobody who enforces it. Go public with your Christian faith. Babylon is not as strong as you thought. When we come to read other verses, you'll be shocked that the same king who no man dared his word confessed that some people changed his word in his own presence and he couldn't do anything. He's not as strong. You see, darkness could be very intimidating, but he's a coward. Just a spark of light like this, darkness will flee. But it could be very terrorizing. It looks so big and bogus, but there is nothing inside darkness. It can make a boss, it can threaten your life, it's nothing. That's what we know darkness for. A man is of the light, does not fear darkness. Babylon is not as strong as we thought. No, it's only because we are coward with what we carry. Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So a man could be weak in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Stand to your feet, let's pray. We must go public. Boom. It's everywhere. If God brings you to become the local government chairman of your local government, they should know you are a child of God. Bring church there. When I was working, they went to me to my chief. They said, I do church for my office. He called me to his office. He said, I learned that you have turned your